This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3796, from Monday, the 20th of February, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Dependent Types. It is the first show by new host David Thryn Christensen, and is about 8 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, a quick taste of programming with dependent types.
Hi, my name is David Tana Christiansen. I'm the executive director of the Haskell Foundation, but I'm not here to talk about Haskell today. I'm here to talk about dependent types. Dependent types are a feature of a type system in a programming language where the type is allowed to contain ordinary programs and not just other types. What does that mean? Well, let's zoom out a little bit first. So when you're writing a program in a language with a type system, you can work in a way where first you write down the type, and then you start writing down the program. As you write the program, the compiler tells you which parts are matching the description you gave in terms of the type and which parts aren't doing so yet. And by refining the program toward the type, you're getting the computer to help you in achieving your stated intentions. This is a lot of fun, and also it has some nice practical benefits. First off, you don't need to write quite as many tests. Because certain bad situations in the program just can't happen. And also, refactoring becomes a lot easier because you make one change and then the compiler starts telling you, oh, hey, all these other parts of the program, like, they're not consistent with that thing you just did, so maybe you should go check them out and update them to fix the change that you introduced by your refactoring. Type systems, typically these days, have a feature that some people call generics, some people call polymorphic types. Call it whatever you want. The basic idea is that a type is able to take another type as an argument. So instead of being able to say just, this is a list, or this is a dictionary, you could say, this is a list of strings, or this is a list of integers, or this is a dictionary where the keys are strings and the values are network sockets, or something like that, or file handles. And this is really nice. You can also write programs that take a type as an argument. So you might say, this program that sorts a list is going to take the type of the elements of the list as an argument to the program. It then puts that into the list type. So you can say, you know, this is a program that'll sort, you know, a list that contains any type, and let's call it A, and it's going to take a list of A's, and it's going to take a way to check the ordering of two lists of two A's, and it's going to give, you know, like a, essentially a less than or equal to operator on A, and then it'll give me back another list of A's. Dependent types simply remove the restriction that the argument passed to a type must be another type. So now we can not only say a list of strings, but we could say a list of five strings. And the sorting function is not just going to be able to say, I'm going to take a list of A's and give you back a list of A. Instead, it's going to say, I'm going to take a list of N A's and give you back a list of N A's. In other words, sorting a list keeps the length the same. You get the same number of things out that you put in. And this doesn't catch every mistake. You know, you might just take the first thing in the list and make a bunch of copies of it and say, hey, I sorted it. But it can at least prevent certain kinds of mistakes where you maybe forget an element during sorting. This system wouldn't be very useful if you could only put variables in your types. If you could only say n or 5. Ideally, you want to be able to do things like running programs in your types. So the append operator on lists can say, I'm going to take a list of n strings and a list of k strings, and then give you back a list of n plus k strings. And in reality, you could make this work for any type. So you could say a list of n a's and a list of k a's, and give you back a list of n plus k a's. And this is really fun. You know, you could tell you didn't forget items from one of your lists. And when you're writing the program, oftentimes the compiler can even just write it for you. So, you know, if you, a popular language with dependent types is Idris. If you sit down and you write down that type signature and you say, hey, Idris, write my program, it'll just do it. And you don't have to do anything else unless you have some special need that isn't guessing. So the more specific your type, the more help you can get from your programming language in writing your program. Interestingly, this doesn't just allow you to write expressive specifications for programs. It also allows you to encode arbitrary mathematics. So one way that this can work is that the logical connectives, so things like and, or, and implies, are all represented naturally by things that we have in programming languages already. So most programming languages have a pair type. So you might say, you know, like the pair of A, you know, the type pair of A and B classifies a pair, like an actual tuple, which has an A and a B in it. Well, a proof of and, in order to prove A and B, well, we've got to prove A and we've got to prove B. So the proof itself is just a pair of a proof of A and a proof of B. Similarly, a lot of types have a lot of programming languages have a type called either. So either AB has two constructors. One of them takes an A and gives you an either AB. The other one takes a B and gives you an either AB. You know, if I want to say A or B, like the logical statement, well, there's two ways to prove that. Either I can prove A or I can prove B. So you can see data types as being proofs in this setting. Implication is a function. So I could say, you know, A implies B. Well, that's a function that transforms evidence of A into evidence of B. And finally, if I want to talk about quantification, which is to say for all, well, that's also a function where we name the argument and then get to refer to that name later in the type. So we could say, you know, the function for all n, n plus k equals k plus n, or for all n and k, n plus k equals k plus n. Well, that's just a function type. You know, you give it any individual numbers n or k, and it gives you back the evidence that, you know, swapping the order of addition for those two things is, in fact, equal. That's pretty cool. And what this does is it means you can start using the tools of programming in order to do mathematics. And in particular, a proof by induction becomes a recursive function. If this sounds like fun and you want to learn more, I'd recommend downloading and playing around with one of the programming languages that has dependent types. For a long, long time, like the research has been going on for decades on this. And it was really kind of a thing you could only do in academics, and you kind of needed to have a mentor to help you out. But these days, there's a lot better resources and a lot better implementations. A lot of progress has been made. So I'd go download Idris, which is a programming language with dependent types. It looks a lot like Haskell, if you've ever had a chance to play with that. Not only does Idris have dependent types, it also has a system for talking about resources in the types. So you can say that every file handle that's opened is closed exactly once. You can also check out Agda, which has a really nice Emacs mode, and it's got a It's more of a test bed for really new things in dependent types. And there's a free online textbook called Programming Language Foundations in Agda that you can read. For Idris, I'd recommend Edwin Brady's really good book, Type-Driven Development in Idris. You can also check out Lean, Lean 4, which is not quite released yet. It's still a pre-release, but it's mostly intended to be a proof assistant. However, it's a good enough programming language that they could implement it in itself. Idris 2 is also self-hosting, so that's pretty fun. And you could also check out Coq, which is really a system designed to do mathematics rather than to write programs, although it has been used to write a C compiler, so it is definitely usable as a programming language. You might want to read my book that I wrote with Dan Friedman, The Little Typer, or check out an in-progress free book on programming in Lean called Functional Programming in Lean, if you want to learn Lean 4. I hope this was interesting, and I hope it inspired you to go explore a fun new corner of programming languages. All the best.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.